This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome inside Sports Radio 93.7. The Fan, Josh Roundtree, has just left the building. So I'm in it, and so is Nathan Aluschak. And we are here taking your phone calls. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. You know Fan Twitter. You've done it before. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And our show is brought to you by the good people of Number One Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. And check out what's all going on down there at the auto show. You know, they have 19 different dealerships. They all sorts of inventory. Plus, they buy cars as well. So you can sell yours to them. Check out Number One Cochrane. PNC Bank, make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call, Shenderovich, and Fishman, where they got your back, not your wallet, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about at Iron Rock Tap House. 412-928-9370 is the number, as I said. This is Jaromir Jagr weekend, and a lot of people are excited to have number 68 back in the building, and rightfully the jersey to be going up into the rafters. It will be a very, very good ceremony, and people who watch Jagr know just how electric this dude was. And people who didn't, you know, I've run into a lot of younger people who try to read about him and, you know, catch up on him, but it's not the same. But you got to watch video, number one, and you have to understand just how good of a down low player he was. Normally when we're talking about legends who, you know, are five-time Art Ross Trophy winners, you're talking about snipers, which he was, but Jagr's, to me, difference-making ability came down low. He was able to do things with a puck that not many people can do. You know, just like Sidney Crosby does now, only at, a better level in terms of how he possesses the puck when he gets it. And Lemieux had the same qualities, but Jagr was just like a bull. He had that lower base, which was unbelievable. Just hard to get off the puck. And, you know, there were so many stories about Jagr, how he got here, Craig Patrick, all the wheeling and dealing he had to do with the draft to be sure that if they took him, he would come here. Craig tells a story that, well, they didn't know because so many other teams passed on him. Yeah, I think he went fifth overall that year, and he was telling people he wasn't going to come over. And back then, it's difficult to get them over here with all the visa issues and everything else. And so they had to do some wheeling and dealing, end up going through, I think, Hamilton, Ontario, and to get in here, and just got him to Pittsburgh. And when he got to Pittsburgh, the rest is history. He fit in with a very talented team. I would say, you know, that team of the early 90s with him in it, and Lemieux and Francis and Coffey, and you go on and on and on, and the Edmonton team of 84 with all their amazing talent, two of the greatest rosters that you'll ever find in professional hockey. But Jagr is here, so tomorrow will be a big day, the 6 o'clock faceoff. And let's not forget about how important the game is, too, because the Penguins find themselves in a situation after losing Jake Guentzel, which was a big development this week. What in the world do they do to try to dig out? They got a nice win the other night, but it wasn't exactly impressive. I wouldn't use that word because Chicago's not a good team, although Connor Bedard came back into their lineup after missing several weeks with a fractured face. That's what happens when you're 18 and you go to places with, you know, grown men are trying to take you down and you're kind of still frail based on hockey standards. But he was back, and you can tell, you know, just how special that kid is, the talents he has, how he shoots the puck, where he shoots the puck from, how he releases. But anyway, the Penguins got a 4-1 win. It was important for them to get, without a doubt. They needed it. And now they find themselves still out of the playoff picture, and games are dwindling down, which is why I think it's very important for them to win tomorrow night and start stacking these wins. Now, they're going to do it without Guentzel, which leads to another problem. What do you do with Jake Guentzel if you're Kyle Dubas? He's going to be out until after the trade deadline. The trade deadline, I think, is 2 days before he's eligible to return. He's still a 40-goal scorer. You know, he's one of the snipers. So you're trying to win now on a team that's been challenged to score goals all season long with your best goal scorer not in the lineup. How much could you get? No, he's on an expiring contract. What would be a return that would make you interested if you were the Penguins? Or if you're Kyle Dubas, you say, you know what, I'm just going to bring them all back next year. We're going to go through this again. Because this window, they believe, and they believe this when they signed everyone to extensions, that it was still available to them. You know, and when they play the right way, and when you see them playing defensively the way they're playing, you would think this team would do really well, but their offense has betrayed them. So what do? You just stand pat, sign him, try the best. You're going to save some money off the cap. The cap's going up. What do you do with Jake Guentzel at 412-928-9370? I also want to get into a few other topics, including Jimmy G. He is going to be released by the Raiders after he is going to be suspended for the first two games of next year for violating PEDs. Would there be any interest in Jimmy G as a backup? And Nathan's shaking his head feverishly. I'm just saying, because we've thrown out just about every name there is to throw out there. In radio talk this week, the Steeler quarterback room has about 30 people in it. So why not add another? I'm just asking. 412-928-9370. But they got issues. To me, the best thing for them to do is sign Rudolph, bring him back, and see what they can do, and then bring in a veteran, somebody. I do not think there is going to be a trade of anything to get a Justin Fields. I'm intrigued by his talent, but I just don't. It would compromise everything they're doing with Pickett. It would basically mean that Fields has to come in here and be the starter. You wouldn't acquire him to be the backup. It wouldn't make sense. 412-928-9370. Also, Henry Davis. What's going on with Henry Davis? Jason Mackey's done a lot of reporting down there. A lot of other reporters have too, and it seems up in the air. He's not even listed on. I was looking at their depth chart yesterday, and I was surprised that Henry Davis is not listed as a catcher. But they say he's going to catch. This is after Andy Rodriguez is out for the year. They bring in Yasmani Grandel, which makes you think they're not going to make him a catcher. I don't know what to think of Henry Davis and what to make of the fact he was a number one overall pick of the Pirates. 412-928-9370. We got Pitt later today. They're 6-1 in their last seven. Big game coming up. They beat number 9 Duke. They beat number 21 Virginia. They have an unranked team, only 3-11 Louisville tonight at the Pete. You'll hear it right here on The Fan. Let's get to the lines. Shall we, Nate the Great? We'll begin with Will and Apollo. Will, you're first up. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Hey, thank you. How's it going?
It's good.
I got some comments, and honestly, I want to know your opinion about the quarterback situation. I don't think we should trade for Justin Fields. I just think it would be a bad fit, in my opinion. I think we should keep everything the way it is. I think we know the Steelers, they're pretty sold on Kenny Pickett right now. So instead of trading and doing all this other stuff, I think we should just take Jordan Travis. I know he had a bad injury, but I think he can still play. I think he's still a really good quarterback, and I'm curious what you think about Jordan Travis.
Well,
and how he fits.
How is that leg recovering? Ever since he got injured at Florida State, I saw him. It looked like it was a pretty significant injury. So number one question for me would be, how is he? And I don't know an answer to that yet. At the combine and all the information comes out after that, you'll get a better idea. But I do agree, Will, with your first statement that I don't think, you know, they made it clear that they still believe. Now, do they have the same intense belief that they did this time a year ago? No. So you're 2 years removed now after Ben Roethlisberger, and you still have questions about your quarterback position, which is not uncommon for NFL teams looking to find a successor to a really good quarterback.
Right.
But they thought they had something better with Pickett, and now I still think they don't know, which is why they understand this is a huge year for him. If you bring in somebody like Justin Fields, and again, I said before, I wouldn't be against it if the price was right. I'd like to, you know, just because I think his talent level is intriguing. He has to protect the ball better. But you don't bring him in here to be a backup, do you? Because number one, if you did, you wouldn't know anything more about him than you do right now, and you owe him an option if you want to keep him. And if you trade for him, I would imagine you're going to pick up his option.
Well, yeah, and also if you trade for him, you're going to be giving up quite a bit for him. So it would make no sense not to at least put him at that number one position to start training camp.
Right. So that's why I don't think that scenario will play out, although I don't know. I mean, they're going to make a lot of different things. I think a lot of this is predicated on what happens with Rudolph. If he decides to sign here, because they will make him an offer. They will make him an offer sometime here before he hits the free agent market. That doesn't mean he hasn't had contact with people outside of the Steeler organization, because I think that's a loosey-goosey rule. But I think he will get an offer. If he likes the offer, he may stay. I think he needs, as part of the offer, a commitment that he will be given a fair chance to start. And if that happens...
Yeah, it's like one of those things, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Does he really trust that the Steelers are going to give him a fair chance?
Well, that's, again, to me, that's going to be the $64,000 question, Will. I don't know. And it's up to him to make that. But he may look around and find that there's not really a better situation for him, regardless of what the promise is. So, you know, and if the money's good, take it. We'll see. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Will. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Anthony, who joins us in North Huntington. Anthony, welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you today?
Hey, Bob. It's a pleasure to meet you. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I just wanted to give a younger fan's perspective on Jahmyr Jaeger. I'm a senior in high school, and Jahmyr Jaeger was somebody that...
You sound like you're already in the radio business, Anthony.
Well, thank you.
You do.
I appreciate that. That's the goal. But I'd like to say that Jahmyr Jaeger was someone we looked up to before the Malkin and Lemieux-Letang era. Such a great phenom, and all we can look back at is highlights as Younger's fans, but, man, he really was incredible. So, you know, it's great to honor him in Pittsburgh. I wanted to say that also tonight is the 300th game at the Pete, and tickets are just $20.02 if you go on right now. Pitt's having a deal for that. Baseline tickets, $20.02, 300th at the Pete tonight against Louisville. And I'm excited to see what are kind of the possibilities, because Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy who, you know, I don't know if we should pick him up. I really don't. I would rather have a guy like Fields. Jordan Travis, he just had a Pro Football Talk interview about him today. Actually, just dropped about 5 hours ago. And he looks to be recovering well. Should be ready by minicamp. So we'll see. But thank you for taking my call, Bob.
Yeah, no problem about it. Thank you, Anthony. Pitts, that's a big game for them. They got to beat Louisville. And you said it's the 300th at Pete. That'll come your way tonight. Right here on 93.7, The Fan. Harry in Westview joins us right now. Harry, welcome to the program. We'll go right ahead.
Thanks, Pomp. I got to follow up that guy. I'm just a guy with a voice that, like, sits next to you at the bar.
Well, we like those bar chats. They're pretty productive most of the time.
Hey, don't you think they dropped the ball on Gensel? I mean, they took the risk this whole time of him not getting injured, and he's a smaller guy. They're putting the personalities ahead of the principles here. They're always worried about what Crosby thinks, and I believe so. I mean, that's the only reason I could see them hanging on to him this long.
Well, I think it's mostly money right now that's the big stumbling block. I think he wants to stay here, but he also wants to cash in on his free agent possibilities.
And he'll is he worth it?
If you look at it for pure goal production, yeah, I think he is. Look at his playoff numbers. He averages a point a game, I think 58 and 58 playoff games. He's a big-time producer.
How does he compare to Rust as far as styles go and as far as durability?
I mean, Rust is more of, to me, a third-line guy if you're at a team that has a lot of talent. And I like Brian Rust. I think the mistake was giving Rickard Rakell the money. I think if they were really looking into this a while ago, they could have done Gensel ahead of time. And they probably would have got off cheaper before any of these other deals start coming out, like what you saw in Toronto, they're guys who've gotten $10 and $11 million, and when they do that, you know, Nylander, is he worth 11? Well, to Toronto he is, but that changes the market. If you had preempted that signing with a Gensel signing, you might have been able to get him for $7 million or $7.5 million a year. So now they're stuck, and now they have to make a choice. So therefore, we are where we are. What would you do?
I think they want to keep him, and I think I would keep him. I'm not worried about him breaking down as much as other people are. I kind of think he keeps himself in shape. He's smart enough to play hockey and manage his body right. So I would keep him. I don't think you find many guys like him.
No, I think he's 29. He still can play for another 5 to 7 years, I think, at a pretty high rate, especially if Crosby wants to play that long. And so
he's got a lot of skills in a lot of different areas, and you don't find guys like that.
No, he has on the resume 240 goals and a lot of 30 goals. I mean, the guy, you know, he was on pace this year for about 35 again. You're not going to find many better snipers than him. And that's why I think
the value would have been higher.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, again, they are where they are. It's going to be very fascinating what Kyle Dubas does here, because some of his other deals have not necessarily panned out, which is one of the reasons why they are where they are. Thanks, Harry, for the call. Appreciate it. At 412-928-9370, we move right along. We have Phil in Pittsburgh. Hello, Phil. How are you?
Bob, what's going on, buddy?
How you doing, Phil?
I'm okay. You know, the other day I turned on the radio and I just couldn't believe that Ron Cook's gone and he's retiring. And I said to myself, I said, who do we really have now? You know, old-timers that know everybody. It's you. It's you.
I'm an old-timer. You're right about that. I try to know a lot of people.
You're not that old.
But Ron made a smart life decision for himself. I mean, he wanted to enjoy time without deadlines in his life. He's operated that way. I think anyone who's in this business knows that. There's a lot of pressure and stress that comes with that. And your everything changes. Your eating habits even change because you're on a deadline. You're always eating fast. You're running. You know, it's not the most healthy way to live. I think he wanted to concentrate on himself.
Well, I mean, just listening to the people that loved him. You know, the Beaver Connie greats, and like even the people throughout the United States in the sports industry. I mean, the guy, he's a legend. And I thought that was a really nice send off. And that. You're like our next, I would call you,
you don't have to call me anything.
I can't call you
Elvis. We can leave it at that. But anyway, thanks for the call, man. I'll give Ron your response, that you're missing him. He's down there, I'm sure. What time is it? 11:18. He's getting ready to pop one. Anyway, Matt from the, Pitt Panthers and the PR department wanted to correct a previous caller, and shame on me for not knowing. I did know that it was the 300th game against Notre Dame. That was it. But what they're doing in commemoration of the 300th game at Pitt is that there are $20 and 2 cent ticket offers in this celebration, which is when this thing first started for Pitt. So that is the ticket price. This is the first of the next 300, I suppose. But it's a big game nonetheless. So you can get in for $20 and 2 cents if you go to the Pitt tonight. And if you don't, you can listen to it right here on The Fan. Back to the lines we go, Ralph in West Mifflin, before we go to our first break. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
Hey, Bob, doing well. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so I was just, I mean, I know it's not the Steelers' way. It's actually completely opposite. But I just think that it's at least worth kicking the tires on talking to the Bears, and not for Fields, but to see what they'd want for the first round, for the first overall pick, I should say. It's pretty clear to me that in the NFL, you're not going to win without a quarterback, and they keep trying to take half measures to solve their quarterback issue, and it's not going to get done unless you pretty much flame out and get a top five draft pick, which they're clearly not going to do. So I just wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on that.
Well, I don't think there's any way that's going to happen, because the price would be really from going from 20 to 1, you're going to have to give up a lot more than probably the Steelers want. But to your point about, you need these kinds of quarterbacks. Absolutely you do. And the Steelers felt they had one and still may feel that way, even though it's taking a little longer to see some of the results. So that would go way out of context for me, for them, way out of their comfort zone. That doesn't mean it's a bad decision. But you're asking what the price would be. Let me check on some of, you know, recent trade-ups and what it has cost, because it's a big number. I'm not so sure. Which of these quarterbacks would you take anyway? We've seen a lot of draft failures in the top 10 of the NFL draft in quarterbacks. It's not an easy thing to do. And if you do it and you miss there, now you're giving up your entire future. You don't have a quarterback. You're still searching for answers. I think they're going to try to do whatever they can, which is why Arthur Smith is here now. His job will try to get the best out of this offense, specifically with Kenny Pickett or Mason Rudolph or whomever is in there. But they have a lot of work to do in that department. Ralph, thanks. Appreciate the call. We're up against a break. We're going to take it right now. It's 412-928-9370. You have an opportunity. There are your opinions. Do it right now here on The Fan. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about all of these topics, including Henry Davis. We haven't had one yet on that. And we're talking about number one picks that haven't panned out. It's early in his career, so I don't want to look at this like it's going to be a failure. But when you take the number one overall pick, what was that draft? 3 years ago? Is it three? Yeah, I think 3 years ago. You would expect him to be up here, number one, and you designate a position for him, which was supposed to be catcher, but again, he's not even listed on their depth chart. So I don't know where that stands. I'd like to hear from you at 412-928-9370. We are just getting rolling until 1 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back. 412-928-9370. Call that number. By the way, Larry Richard is once again hosting the Feed the Need variety show to raise funds for the Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. It's March the 1st at Oaks Theater in Oakmont, 7:30 p.m. Performances from Kiki, Joe Starkey, Alista, and Bubba. Tickets available now at 93.7thefan.com with all the proceeds going to the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank. We thank Larry. He always gets involved with anything locally, does a great job. And so an array of talent. I'm anxious to see what Joe Starkey will sing because he normally sings. And Jaromir Jagr happens to be at Penguin practice today, and now he's on the ice skating with them. And potentially he could be inserted into the lineup on the power play this coming weekend against the Kings. Why not? Boy, wouldn't that be a nice retirement jersey? Raise it. Bring it down, have him go back into it, and then skate on the power play. He can't be worse right now, can he, Nate?
No, he sure can't. And I've seen him do amazing things on one leg before.
Well, that should be fun tomorrow to watch it all unfold. But again, the most important thing for the Penguins beyond that is you got to win a hockey game. You got to get 2 points no matter how you get them. This is not a conference opponent. So it is... regardless of shootout win, overtime, any kind of win you get, you need the 2 points when you're down in the standings like this, because a team like Philly's not relenting, it looks like. They're a rebuild, but they're playing very well, and they occupy the third place in the Metro. The wild card, you know, could be attainable, but again, you're going to have to start winning some of these Eastern Conference games. 412-928-9370. Before we go back to the phone lines, I want to answer a question that one of the previous callers brought up about what it would take to get a number one overall pick if you reside in the current 20th position. So Nate Aluschak has done some homework here, and I said, Nate, can you dig out some information concerning what it would take? Because you'd have to, and I knew it'd be multiple picks, a lot of picks. What would most likely be the cost if you called the Bears, say you were talking about Justin Fields, it didn't work, say, okay, what would it cost to get the number one overall pick from where we sit? What would they have to give up?
So Jimmy Johnson, a long time ago, created this draft capital value based on like how much a pick is worth, essentially based on their opinion of it. And the number one overall pick of any draft is considered is 3,000 points. That's what the number one pick is considered. So to acquire that, the Steelers, just for a point of reference, they pick 20th. That pick is assigned 850 points. And the last pick of the draft is 590 points. So a first-round pick can range between 3,000 and 590 points, essentially. So if the Steelers would want to move from the 20th position, which is around 850 points, up to number one, they're going to have to give up essentially three first-round draft picks that are in the top 20, and they can't guarantee the next couple of years where they're going to finish, but that three first-round picks is probably what's going
to
take.
Yeah, probably more, too. And if I'm Chicago, I would ask for a ton more. If someone's that desperate to come up to me, they're going to pay the price to do it, and I wouldn't trade it anyway.
Yeah, and the drop-off is pretty big. After that, after the first round, you're looking at the Steelers' second pick, the 51st pick. That value is only about 390 points. So it's not like you're going to make up these points this year. These are, you're going to have to trade draft picks multiple years down the line. That's an investment that's just not for one season.
And here's the thing. If it doesn't work, now you're really screwed because you have nothing coming in and you're going to have to be digging out forever. So that's why that is not even a possibility at this point. However, if I was Chicago, I may double down on Justin Fields. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about this. They think he's automatically going to be a traitor. He felt that way at his final press conference. He kind of said goodbye to all Chicago people. But if he's 24 and there's an intriguing amount of talent there, you have the number one overall pick. You know, it doesn't mean you can't draft another quarterback and load up in that department. Or you can trade down, acquire more picks, and build around Justin Fields. I would be tempted to do that. I think I found someone who's a very talented kid. He just needs to protect the football better. And if you give him weapons, that offense could take off. And I would not be against that if I were a Chicago Bears fan. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to the lines again. We got Rich in Forest Hills. Hello, Rich. Welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you this day?
Hey, Bob. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Who'd you rather have on the power play tonight, Kessel or Jagr for a cameo?
I'm telling you, he's on the ice. I wouldn't be – I bet you, you know, he's still playing over there. He could probably get on the ice and just skate on a power play and do something.
Reports out of Vancouver were that they were about ready to administer CPR to Kessel after he skated for 45 seconds. So that'll be interesting to see.
They don't need need Phil Kessel. They have enough talent on that team.
Well, I give it to Rutherford for kicking the tires.
Sure.
Rutherford's an example of you don't realize what you have until you lose them. I mean, I think we're struggling here. That said, Rutherford's got his fingerprints on some of the Penguins' current problems. Hextall was obviously a disaster. But I think they made their choice about Guentzel whenever they re-signed Malkin. Falling in love with these aging superstars is just the trap to avoid. There's no reason to sign the guy. In my opinion,
you're talking about Malkin.
Malkin, yeah. Right?
Well, they should have traded him a long time ago. There was a market for him, a big market, I thought. At some point you have to start thinking about the future. You don't have to just go through a complete rebuild, but along the way you can fine tune, bring some people in and keep this thing moving. So they chose to go the other direction. And the other thing, Rich, I think a part of this is it's financial. They need ticket sales. They need people to fill that building up and to make sales on other things when they're in there.
First of all, I agree with you. I would have traded Malkin 5 years ago. I'm on record for saying that this isn't just a thought I'm having today after, a Monday morning quarterback session. But I don't know that Malkin drives that sort of revenue for this team. I think this notion of we've got two great centers has just been the topic for them forever. Obviously Jeff Carter was a disaster. John Marino signing into that contract and then that contract forcing you to trade him, he's become a number one defenseman.
They could certainly use him back for sure.
There's just a myriad of problems here, and the sooner they realize that they're not getting, we're going to keep the core together, the better. I mean, this is just an ongoing thing. They really should trade Guentzel, probably Peterson, probably take their lumps next year, hope Sid's good for another couple of years. Trading Guentzel doesn't prohibit you from re-signing him either. It doesn't mean that he's out the door. I mean, there have been lots of examples of players.
Right, you're saying trade him, get some assets back, and then in the offseason, if he doesn't find something, or you jump back in and say, okay, we will sign you.
Yeah, I mean, and it's familiar to him here, right? And if they think that they're going to just run the rest of the season with him, not trade him, not get anything out of it for him, and risk losing him to free agency, what's the difference? They're not going to make the playoffs. And I read a comment from a reader in one of the blogs the other day. It said, why not trade Jari to somebody like the Kings that are really desperate for a goalie? You get some high quality guys back, lower round draft pick, but then you've got this number two guy who's on the cheap. You've got this AHL guy who's on the rise, and again, you've just remodeled your roster with less expensive versions of what you have. The simple fact is they're not getting out of this bind anytime soon, and they're not getting into the playoffs. They've got to think outside this box, and I'm sure Kyle Dubas is listening to my every word and taking notes. But
we're going to find out what he's made of at this deadline here. Thanks, Rich, for the call. I do agree that they got it's a long. Not, can they get in the playoffs? Sure, they do have games in hand. I'm not going to go a blanket statement. They're not going to get in. Are they playing like a playoff team? Absolutely not. However, they are 5 points out of the second wild card, which is currently occupied by Detroit, and they have two games in hand on them. They also have 5 games in hand on the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, you got to do something with those games. You can't just say, well, we have games in hand, you got to win them. If you do that, you cut their deficit from 10 to 2, but you got to win them. And there's some head-to-head battles, and the Flyers look like they're still playing a pretty good brand of hockey. So we'll see what we see. Counselor joins us right now. He's on the hotline. What's up, Counselor?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
What's up?
I just heard that rumor. I don't know if you heard it, that they may start Henry Davis in AAA.
Yeah, I've heard that. I'd be disappointed by that.
Yeah. And here's my point. I don't understand if they didn't think he could be an everyday catcher. then why didn't you have him playing outfield in winter ball? You need a third outfielder. I don't believe they have anybody, even in the minors, that's close to being able to play the outfield.
Well, they have more outfield platoon people than they do, like, people you can put in every day. To me, and thanks for the call, Counselor, I'm up against the break, but I appreciate your thoughts there. I really believe that Henry Davis, if he's not a catcher, that dude better hit 35 to 40 home runs every year, because you cannot justify a number one overall pick for a guy who can't play a position. I'm sorry. Unless he hits 35 to 40 home runs every year. If he's that guy, fine. You have a designated hitter, that's your role for him. But if it doesn't happen that way and he can't find his way onto the field, he's got a good arm. He's a strong dude. He can hit for a long, prodigious blasts. But he's got to be able to me, if you have him behind the plate as an everyday catcher and he provides you with offense, that is a plus. You have something on the rest of the league. Not many people have that asset. But if he's relegated to being a platoon outfielder or a DH, then he better hit, or else that's going to be looked at as a very bad pick. It's too early to make that distinction, but, you know, they got to get much more out of what they've gotten. And if he starts in AAA, this is 3 years after he's a number one overall pick. To me, that's a disappointing development. We got to take a break. Mick and Moon, you'll be first up. Hang on with me at 412-928-9370. Want to thank our sponsors once again. This is Auto Show weekend, so you want to check out what number one Cochran's doing 24/7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. There's a lot going on there. They have 19 dealerships. They got tremendous inventory. They even buy cars. You can sell yours to them. All this stuff going on with number one Cochran. We'll take a break. Come back with more right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, anchored by Nathan Haluschek on 93.7 The Fan. We are rolling along here on a snowy Saturday, although that snow came a little earlier than expected, and the roads are fine. They pretty much were fine. It was kind of that heavy snow, but kind of nice atmospheric snow, considering we had only 10 inches of snow all season long, so people doubled up on that, or at least went 50% of it. And we'll have the weather coming up at the end of the hour here for you moving forward. In the meantime, it's open lines until 1 o'clock, 412-928-9370. Thank you to PNC Bank for being one of our big sponsors. We appreciate it. Make today the day at PNC Bank. Number one Cochran. That's where you got to go to ride in style. They have 19 different dealerships. Number one Cochran. Shop 24/7 with Expressway, Cochran.com. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. You can call us every night on KDK Plus, or some nights, most nights, right here on 93.7 The Fan. Ireland Contracting is the home of the sports call. Remember that, because it doesn't change. It's seven nights a week. We're always there talking about sports, regardless of what sport you're talking about. Also, we have Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone is talking about. And Shandorovich and Fishman. Right now, we're going back to the phone lines. Mick and Moon, as promised, is next up. What's up, Mick?
Hi, Bob. Pirates say one thing and do another. Okay. They know they're not going to contend for division and probably not a playoff. They're hoping to play 500 or maybe a few games over. But you're bringing back, I could see having McCutcheon on the team if you were like going for, you know, had a chance to win the division or something. The guy, and since he left Pittsburgh, a 247 hitter. I mean, he's, you know, he just hanging around. And you're taking the bats away from guys like Davis. Cruz is going to have to DH some this year because, you know, coming back from injury, and various other players. And I'm going to ask you a question. If he had 270 home runs instead of 299, would the Pirates brought him and bring him back?
The likely answer to that is no. He needs one. I think if he had gotten it last year, he might have retired. I don't know. I don't have a problem, though, with him being back, Mick, only because it really doesn't cost that much given Major League Baseball salaries. And he is a good influence on this team and these players. And he still has some swings in him. So I don't have a problem with that. I would have a problem if they play him a lot over somebody who I thought should have more playing time. All right, sir. Thank you for the call. Mark in Oakland joins us right now at 412-928-9370. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Bob. How you doing there?
Good, thanks.
Good. Hey, my statement on Yarmer Yager, I think he's probably the third best offensive player that ever played a game behind Gretzky and Lemieux. I think. Go ahead.
No, I didn't say anything. I wouldn't necessarily disagree with that. I think Yarmir Yager, based on what he's done, if you stretch it out over his entire career, of course, it's a pretty good amount of points that he's put up. And the fact that he had 11 years in Pittsburgh and won five scoring titles here says a lot.
And the thing about Yager, it's almost a shame he didn't play in this era, because I don't think the way he held the puck, he can hold the puck against players that cross-checked him in the back. If he'd have played in an era like this, I really think he would have won the scoring title now also. I think Yager could have, he would have been dominating now, because I think he's even he's better at controlling the puck than Crosby. So I don't know any defenseman now could even have handled him.
Yeah, I think that those two guys are probably the two best at puck protection that I've seen watching hockey over all the years I've watched hockey. Yager was just, if you go back to and watch what he did and how he did it, I guess the Chicago, there are a lot of goals that stand out to me, but the one in Chicago, or the one here in game one of the Stanley Cup final against the Blackhawks, where he just weaved his way in and out. Nobody could do anything. He goes backhand and scores, and that was such a huge goal and what it meant to the Penguins. But he was like that a lot. I mean, he had such a physique that it was hard to get near the puck, let alone take it away.
Hey, Bob, can I say something about the Pirates?
Sure.
The one thing I've always said about, like, you know, they say, like, Henry Davis, he might be a flop, or this guy might be a flop. The one thing I always said, it goes back to Nutting, and the reason why I'm going to say this is because if I was Nutting, and I don't want to spend money on my team as much, go and get better scouts. Overpay for scouts. Go into organizations like Tampa Bay, into Cleveland, into like places that don't spend a lot of money but have great scouts, and overpay for scouts. Go and say, hey Joe, how much you get for this organization? I'll give you $1 million. Like they have to. If you're not going to spend money at the major league level, you go and get good scouts. And then they're the guys that can go and see talent and know talent.
I think it's one of the secrets to Tampa's success, for sure. Thank you for the call, Mark. I think it's a good point. There is no salary cap on what you can spend on these coaches, so just spend it. Get more eyes on people. Get more people who you can rely on, people who've had success in that department. I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. You're trying to just bring in talent. It doesn't have to be first-round talent either. It has to be talent. In baseball, you can come up from it with all different positions. And there are success stories from people who've been drafted in the 30th round, for goodness sakes. So, given the wide span, the global pursuit of talent that there is out there, I think the more talent you have in your scouting department can help you. 412-928-9370. I also want to throw out the draft order. We had someone tweet me on this, wondering about New England. Well, New England, it's fourth overall. Coming off their 4-13 season, they have a situation in hand with Mac Jones as their quarterback. So they're going to likely move on from him, Nathan. The question is, what happens to Mac Jones? Now, I've seen enough of Mac Jones to know he's never going to be able to be a franchise quarterback. Can he be somebody as a backup who could come in young enough? He's had experience enough. If he fell in that category, do you think that would be interest to a team like the Steelers?
Well, I know Tomlin loves his Alabama guys, so that would definitely be on the radar. But I don't think it would be a good step in the right direction. I think you kind of saw what you're going to get from him in New England. And I don't think the Steelers have an offense that he can step into and have a lot of success right away with.
Yeah. So just to answer the guy on Twitter who asked me, Carolina, it's amazing. With Carolina had the number one pick, and they traded it to Chicago before they knew they had the number one pick, but Chicago gets it. Then it's Washington 2, New England 3, Arizona 4, the Chargers at 5th. They've been a disappointment over the years, given the talent they've had on offense. Then it's the Giants 6, the Titans 7, Falcons 8. That's a team that, you know, I look at Justin Fields, and if they're going to make a trade, I would think that Atlanta would be very highly interested in him. The Bears also have the 9th pick. This is what I was talking about with doubling down if you're Chicago. You have the 1st and 9th picks. If you trade that number one, if you're committed to Justin Fields, let's say you decide you don't want to take a quarterback, you can trade that number one down to so many teams that need it. Get additional 1st-round picks or 2nd-round picks. Load up and surround Justin Fields with the Marvin Harrisons of the world, with people who can make a difference to him and them. I think that's probably a very smart strategy if you're them. Other than, I don't know what you're going to get for Justin Fields. To me, if you trade him, now you bring in a new quarterback. If that quarterback doesn't work, you're in the same exact boat. Now, you better hope it works. But I think I've seen enough from him to know that I could count on him to be someone I can work with moving forward. So we'll see. 412-928-9370. Yager's on the ice with the Penguins at practice. Some believe he still can play on the power play at age 52. Why not? Just celebrated a birthday. He's been skating overseas. We won't see him there. We will see him pregame tomorrow when they have a big celebration and raising the banner, the shirt, the jerseys going up in the rafters next to number 66. 412-928-9370 is the number. Call until 1 o'clock. We'll take those calls, open lines. In the meantime, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out special financing for qualified buyers on new Silverado 1500 trucks today. Cloudy, breezy, couple of flurries. High of 30, so it's going to be colder tonight. Low in the 20s, partly cloudy, breezy. Tomorrow, winds, intervals of clouds and sunshine, 39 degrees for your high temperature. We have hour number two coming up. Want to hear from you on the Penguins' struggles. What do they need to do with the trade deadline? What should Kyle Dubas do? What's the quarterback room look for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Henry Davis, what's going to happen to him? Will he be on the roster this year? And also, I'll throw out Tiger Woods, who had to withdraw from another tournament. And Tiger Woods, will he ever win a tournament again? I hate to say that. He's 48. He should. But given all the physical situation he's dealing with, and this was not related to that. This was a dehydration flu situation, but still had to withdraw. He doesn't play an awful lot. We'll talk about it when we continue. This is the Bob Pompiania Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hour number two of the program right here in the Fan Studios in Greentree, Pennsylvania. Bob Pompiania with you, along with the man now in charge, Joel Nelson. Hello, Joel. How are you? You're taking over for Nathan, who has just left the building.
Doing good today, Bob. Good old Saturday afternoon here. A little snow's gone, thankfully, but
yeah, it looks pretty, but it's gone. And it wasn't that heavy to begin with. So hopefully everybody had no problems last night. It was slick last night when it first happened, but if you were at home at a reasonable hour, then you had no problems. Or if you waited real late, then it was probably cleared up. Anyway, we'll have weather coming up later. I want to tell you our show is brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Number one Cochrane, go to the auto show and see all the amazing things they got going on. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. 19 different dealerships there. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, they got your back, not your wallet. And Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, come see what everyone's talking about at Iron Rock Tap House. In the meantime, I'm going to throw out some names that are still unsigned. And we see this now more and more in Major League Baseball. You know, the Pirates have kind of nitpicked their way through here, signing a bunch of guys to decent deals, but nothing great, and they're 30-some-year-old pitchers, and you're hoping, for lightning to strike here, whatever the case may be. But there's some bona fide names available, unsigned at this point, and spring training has begun. Cody Bellinger of the Cubs. I always like Cody Bellinger. I think he had a really good season last year playing some first base. The Pirates continue to just kind of, platoon there. They're hoping that Rowdy Tellez can give you some long ball. But Cody Bellinger's a better option if you want to pay him. We'll see what that number is, but I would imagine the number keeps coming down. And a name that I keep wanting to throw out, there's Jordan Montgomery, who's had some injury problems, but he's a starting pitcher and a very good one. But Blake Snell, a two-time Cy Young Award winner. Nobody seems to be willing to give him what he wants. Why can't the Pirates? Again, they have the wherewithal to do it. And if you throw him in a rotation with some of these young guys coming up, all of a sudden I think that's a legit rotation, especially if Skeens is up here eventually and turns into what you expect him to be. So I don't understand why that's not even on the table. They can afford it. It's your choice. If you want to play that game, play it. If not, don't, and then continue to nitpick with a bunch of guys who, may or may not be good. We don't know. So, but the key for them is that the guys in their system better come up and contribute and do it quickly. They need that. 412-928-9370. Let's go to Neil in Butler, who joins us right now. Hello, Neil. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bob. Before I get to my point, I'd love to piggyback off what you just said. Cody Bellinger, I mean, that would be a phenomenal. And Jordan Montgomery pitched well with the Texas in the playoffs last year.
Yes, he did.
I mean, either one of those two would just be, I can't even, an upgrade is an understatement.
And here's the thing, Neil. If, by chance, they don't get the longer-term deals that they want, someone's going to get him on a one-year deal. And if it's a one-year deal, I don't care what the price tag is, bring him in.
And you're right. And if he re-signs elsewhere, then you get that comp pick, possibly. If he has a good year, then he goes and he gets a long-term deal. You get a compensatory pick anyway if you don't trade him at the deadline, because I don't want to get to my main point why I called. I don't know about you, but the way this team is sitting today, I don't know how anybody can be that optimistic that they're going to be that much more higher of a win total than they were last year. To expand on that, the drafting of Ben Cherington, aside from the high school kids that he's taken a little bit later in some of the drafts, you know, the how many catchers are in the Hall of Fame? How many 5'7", 180-pound second basemen are in the Hall of Fame? We're talking about, you know, Gonzalez and of course, right. You know.
Well, it's sounding more and more like Triolo may be the man to play there on a regular basis, which I did not see
coming. That's the sad part. You drafted a guy in your first draft, you know, as the second baseman, and he's not, from what I'm seeing, is not a major league player. You know, talking about trading him for Cabrera, and that leads me to another thing that scares me. I'm not saying Ben Charrington's on the hot seat, but if they have a bad year this year, you know, it reminds me back when Neil Huntington started to get a little bit nervous, and he made the trade, like maybe felt like he had to do something to keep, you know, his job, and he traded, you know, three of the top prospects. And I'm just scared that they, like, I'd love to have Edward Cabrera in this rotation, but it's got to be, obviously, like all trades, got to be for the right price. You can't be trading Anthony Saul with any, like, two of your, you know, top, we'll say 5 to 10 picks, which would be Solomato, Bubba Chandler's, you know,
Johnson,
those type of players.
Demar Johnson's one of them, too.
Demar Johnson, but, right. I mean, those kind of guys, like, I wouldn't want to get, you know, it's just, I get he's signed, he's got control, but I don't want him to go make a knee-jerk reaction in a trade for a guy. And well, you got to wonder why. I know Florida's a little deeper in starting pitching, but they have lost Al Contreras this year. You know, for them to get rid of Cabrera, are they throwing in, or they know something we don't?
All right, Neil, I got to go. I have a lot of people. I understand what you're saying. I just, you know, they could solve something just by spending a little bit of money. And I'm sorry, but there's no excuse for it. Tom in Oakmont. Tom, you're up. Welcome to the program. What's up?
Yeah, hey, Bob. Thanks. I consider your show the highlight of the Fans Week as a real
Well, that's high praise. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hardcore fan. Yeah, I tell my friends, they can't believe I speak with you on this show, and I tell them you're approachable. You're a Pittsburgher. So other than that, my main point is, like, on Henry Davis, like, there are philosophers and theologians that say, give me a boy when he's up to 6 years old, and I'll form that man at six. And I feel the same about catchers. It's, give me a baseball player at about age 12 or 14, and I'll tell you if he's a catcher or not. I can't believe that this guy's 24, and they can't figure out if he's a catcher or not. That's incomprehensible to me.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the same. And when I hear that there's thoughts of him going down to AAA, I'm thinking to myself, this is 3 years removed from him being the number one overall pick. And the expectations do change for people who are number one overall picks. You expect them to be here and contributing sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to know all the numbers of hours they put into drafting all these players and scouting these players. They had to think at the time that he wasn't a good catcher and still draft him if they're
one
not believing
think.
It now. Or they totally mm-hmm. botched their assessment of
they
him.
They botched it,
And that's the thing that's bothersome here. I love the bat, too, but you can get bats at a lot of different places. You don't have to spend the number one overall mm-hmm. pick when you rarely get them, although in their case they got 2 and 3 years. You know, you better make sure that he's a guy who can fill a position. And because he was a catcher, I was excited about that. I'm still not going to give up mm-hmm. on it, but
yeah,
he
they
needs,
dropped the ball.
He needs to be that guy moving forward. It gives you, if you put him behind the plate with Hayes, Cruz, Reynolds, Sawinski, anyone else you want to, you got a pretty decent offensive lineup to start with. You can add some pieces here and there.
If he can catch.
Yeah, but
if he can catch.
Again, I can't believe we're still talking about that at this point.
I understand he can't play the outfield very well either. That's really bothersome.
Well, we'll see. They have a designated hitter role. If he hits 35 home runs, I would forget all of this. I'll take it.
Thanks again, Bob.
All right, Tom. Appreciate your call. Henry Davis is a big topic here today. Ray in Whitehall wants to chime in. What's up, Ray?
Yeah,
how are you?
Hey, what's up? It seems to me like we always criticize Nutting for not spending money, and clearly he doesn't want to spend or, you know, doesn't have the, you know, the drive. But, I mean, I think also another problem is maybe people don't want to work for him, or he doesn't hire the right people. And the fact that they took Davis, and maybe they saw talent, but they don't have the right instructors, the right instructors in the minors to unlock that talent. And I just feel like, you know, it all starts with ownership, not just your will to win, but pushing the right buttons. And I think Nutting has a lot more problems than we realize.
Well, I don't know about all of that. I do know they can upgrade their scouting. I don't know enough about it. I don't think anyone does. We hear names. I'm not sure to what level they go and check. The only thing you have, Ray, to support what you're saying is you have proof. We have what they've done. And there hasn't been enough homegrown people coming up and playing here. And there needs to be more of it, especially when it's high-end talent. And if you don't have that, then you're going to have a hard time putting together anything if you're not going to spend on top of that. Spending comes in to supplement. And if you believe you have a young enough team, and they've said this, that they believe they could push for a playoff spot. Okay, if you believe that, then you need to supplement it with other people. And that requires spending. So
I see Tampa Bay, and I see the fact that they've been able to produce talent through the minors. And they're in a tougher situation than we are because they're in a division that has a lot more money with their opponents than our opponents have. And yet, you know, we continue to get these high draft picks. We continue to misfire. And it's so discouraging for people like me who are old enough to remember, you know, 71 and 79.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. Greg Lenzi on Twitter. You can hit me up at KD Pomp. He says, why isn't Davis at first? Well, apparently they tried that and didn't fit his profile as someone who could play there. You know, I thought he did okay in the out. He has a strong arm. I don't mind him playing outfield if he can hit. Again, to me, it all comes down to can he hit? If he hits, then it doesn't matter what happens in terms of where he plays. I want to see somebody, but it would be a nice thing to have a position player, a catcher who can hit, because there are not many of them available in the MLB right now. So that would be a luxury item, and that's why I thought they took him. Now, they got Andy Rodriguez in a trade. He looks very natural back there. It's a shame he got hurt, but I thought the door was open, and they said so, that Henry Davis would be the catcher. And yet they went out and got Grandal. And you can say, okay, well, he's only $2.5 million, he's a veteran, can help, blah, blah, blah. He'll end up being the everyday catcher. They have other guys, DeLay still on their roster, Ali Sanchez, who's a good defensive guy. I don't know if what he could hit or not. But the point is, I would think that was an open door for Henry Davis. And now apparently that door is either starting to close or already has closed. And I'm disappointed by that for being a number one overall pick. 412-928-9370. Let's keep it rolling with Mike in the car. Hey, Mike.
Bob, how are you? You're the best.
Thanks, Mike. Just like to talk.
Disappointed in the Pirates. They just, it's one thing you count on is they make the wrong moves. Like 80% of their moves are incorrect. You know, they took Davis number one overall, not because he was the number overall pick. You know, he was fifth or sixth or seventh. He just signed for a lot less money than another guy would have, so they could sign all these other guys. And they wind up not being perfect either. If you look at the last year stats in the minor leagues, I think two or three guys hit above 300, let alone, you know, a superstar hitting 380. There's not even talent in the minor leagues right now.
Yeah. Well, I disagree. They do have some talent in the minor leagues. Whether or not it's going to be up here soon is going to be the key. If they can get somebody who's in that system right now and get here and play and contribute, and they have some young pitchers who I think qualify for that. I was disappointed last year with a couple of other pitchers who came up and didn't do what I expected them to do. And maybe it just takes time. You know, the one thing about this is the majors. And even if you go down to AA and AAA, you're seeing better opposition than you would in any college level of baseball. So, I grant you it takes time. But at some point, you have to see the fruits of this. You have to get guys up here. And thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. That's why I'll be patient with Paul Skeens. You know, I know that sometimes it takes a while. He's got to learn a little bit. But the question is, if I'm sitting here 3 years from now and he's still not up here or he's still not doing much at the major league level, that's going to be a disastrous situation. You can't have that from guys who are number one overall picks. Let's go back to the lines before we take our first break of this noon hour. We got Brad in Punxsutawney. Wants to shift it up and talk some Steelers.
Bob,
what's up, Brad?
Doing?
How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm going to switch gears a little bit and get back to this Steelers quarterback room because I'm frustrated right now. And here's where I'm coming from. Last year, and we know that right now Pickett's the long-term guy. So we threw Rudolph to the curb and went with Trubisky. We did what we could to make sure Rudolph never hit the spotlight. We bring him in at the end of the season. He played. We win three games He threw one bad pass in the Buffalo game, but he's opened up the field. He's at least given them the opportunity to, if Pickett's your long-term guy, you got a guy right now, and we're talking about making trades for Fields and bringing in all these guys. I just don't get it because I don't know what more. I think the kid's got an upside, and I don't know what more he could have done in the four games that he played. So maybe you can help me out and enlighten me, Bob.
Well, I give him credit for taking advantage, and thank you for the call. We're up against a break, but Brad, thanks. He took advantage fully of what they gave him. Now, there was an interception. It was a bad one in that playoff game, but there were some other throws that could have been intercepted. I'm not going to just bypass that. But he opened up the deep game, which was something that needed to be unlocked and wasn't unlocked until he got there. Can he be an everyday franchise quarterback? At what level? And you'd have to ask the question, how much money do you put into that? I think the Steelers are going to want to sign him to a similar deal that Trubisky got, which was 2 years, $14.5 million, maybe more than that. And, you know, the money is still the money. And more than anything, Mason Rudolph has a chance to make some serious money here with this last four games that he played in. And he has to be the person who looks around and either believes what the Steelers would tell him and the money that's here, or look around and find a better opportunity. When you do look around, Brad, you don't see many better opportunities. You can maybe look at the Raiders and teams like that who have guys like Aiden O'Connell as your starter. Could he compete? Could he win that job? Would they be interested? How much would that command? I still think the best opportunity for him will be here. Whether or not he takes it, that will be up to him. And if he doesn't, then all of a sudden, now they're going to have to start figuring out a little bit different philosophy about what they're going to have to do in the coming weeks and months, trying to load up their quarterback room. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Thank you guys all for calling. We have a lot of them on the line. We have two Gregs, a Fran, and a John. Hang on, we'll get to you as fast as we can. I want to remind you once again, the Van Dex Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. PNC Bank, thank you for being a sponsor. Number one, Cochrane, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Shendorovich, Shendorovich, and Fishman, got your bag, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call here and on KDK Plus, so you can watch it every night of the week. Brought to you by Ireland Contracting. And then check out Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. We'll get your calls on next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back. As we continue right here at 412-928-9370, the more I watch Jaromir Jagr skate at Penguin practice, the more I believe he can actually play on the power play tomorrow night. I'm not kidding. He still has a hop in his step, and you know he's got the shot. He's 52. Maybe they're going to raise the banner only after he scores a hat trick on the power play. That should be fun. But the guy is a hockey junkie. There's no question. He's never been married. It's all about hockey in his entire life. And what an amazing person. What a character he was over all these years. Anyway, we're talking about the Penguins. Gensel, what do you do? Do you trade him now? Can you? How much do you get? Do you just wait because of the injury? There are a lot of questions there, and they're going to have to go down the stretch without one of their best goal-scoring producers, even though goal-scoring has been their number one problem. They haven't been able to put the puck in the net enough, and I never thought I'd be saying that, Joel, but here we are. At 412-928-9370. Let's go out to Pam in Virginia, who joins us right now. Hey, Pam, how are you?
Hey, Pomp. Hey, we're going to the game tomorrow, and I heard you're supposed to be there early, like it's 4:15. Is that true?
They suggest that. I'm not sure what time everything is going to start. The game's not until 6, so, yeah. I mean, to me, I'd get there earlier rather than wait. That's just my advice because I know how things can get when people are trying to get in there at the same time.
Okay.
All right, Pam, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Hope you have a nice time. Let's go to Greg in Youngstown. Hey, Greg, what's going on?
Hey, not much. Hey, I know you guys mentioned Henry Davis, and I played baseball, and I'm just going to tell you this. If this guy can't play catcher now, he'll never play catcher. You're either born a catcher or you're not a catcher. I mean, this guy's played all through Pony League and Traveling League and college and high school. If he can't catch now, at 24, you're never going to teach him to be a catcher. It's never going to happen.
Well, I think that's one of the concerns, Greg. Thank you. You know, they scouted him as a catcher. They talked about him as a catcher. They made it seem like when they drafted him, that was going to solve one of their biggest needs, which was a hitting catcher. And here he is now, And again, I'm willing to wait. If you look at all the people drafted from that draft 3 years ago, not many right now are contributing. Couple of guys are in there doing something, but for the most part, but when you're number one overall, you're expected to do some stuff sooner rather than later. And again, the bat has to play, period. If it doesn't, then it's really a problem. Then you have nowhere to put him, and it's not worth even having him again. But I believe he's going to hit. I believe he has that kind of power that they seek, that they need. The question is, can he do it every day behind the plate? And if the answer is no, then that to me diminishes a lot of what you got in Henry Davis, because I thought that was a position they really sorely needed help, and they got it, and now he's not even going to be there. We'll see how it goes. They're still going to play a lot of games in spring training. Things can change. All right, now we have another Greg. This one is in Slippery Rock. Hey, Greg, what's up?
Hey, Bob. The Henry Davis story is just another example why I do not trust this Pirate regime. You know, Shelton and Sherrington, some of the decisions they make, the rationale they use is so inconsistent and so unproductive. I feel bad for Davis because he's caught in this. And I worry about Skeens, you know, because he's got all kind of potential. How they handle him, how they develop him, it's going to be questionable because the Pirates are so poor at developing players. It's almost an embarrassment what they've done.
Well, I mean, the proof is out there that they have not developed enough players, and they need to do it. And they have some very interesting and talented kids in their system. What will happen to them? How long will it take for them to get here? They're, you know, when I heard about Quinn Priester coming up last year, I was excited to watch him. What I saw from him was not what I expected to see from him. Now, does it take longer? Okay. But he's an older guy, too. He's getting up there. He needs to start showing it and being consistent with it here if he's in this rotation. But I doubt he'll be in this rotation to start the year.
Right. With the potential that he has, it makes me wonder, who are the people they have that are working to help develop these kids? They don't have it. There's something that's wrong there that they have not been able to correct. And it's just disheartening, and it doesn't give you much hope for the future.
Thanks, Greg. Appreciate your call at 412-928-9370. If we're looking at this starting rotation right now, Keller, of course, is the anchor of it. But then you brought in those two guys, Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez. Those are guys who've had a taste of it, have done it. You can put them in the rotation as well. After that, they just acquired Josh Fleming. They signed him to a one-year deal. Now, you may not know much about him, but he was with Tampa. That should encourage you. 27 years old, and overall in the majors, 11-5 record. And he had a pretty good ERA a couple of years ago when he went 5-0, 2.7 ERA in the season of 2020. So he's a lefty. He's had production when he's gotten in there. I would imagine that you would put him in there ahead of a guy like Bailey Falter as they wait for people like Oviedo down the road, like Brubaker's coming back. And what about Ronzi Contreras? What about Luis Ortiz? These are guys who they had high hopes for, came up here, showed a little, and then went the other way. This is what I'm talking about. Some of these guys have got to start doing it quickly. You know, how long do you wait on them? It looks good. Everybody talks about, well, look at the minor league production, but then they get up here and it doesn't happen. 412-928-9370. We have Fran in the car right now on the Bob Pompiani Show. Hey, Fran.
Hey, how you doing, Bob? Happy Saturday, bud.
You too.
Hey, I got a question for you, because I respect the fact that all the sports in Pittsburgh seems like you kind of got your finger on the pulse of things. And I listen to a lot of your stuff and I respect your opinion. So there's something I've been wondering about for a while now. The Pirates, they're high draft picks. It seems to me that they're higher draft picks. Not a lot of them ever make it to the major league level. But when you look at other teams, is it just me looking at the Pirates with a bias toward that? Or is that something that's representative across the league?
No, I think it's representative across the league. To what degree would be the difference? The Pirates, to a lesser degree, develop and bring up their own people. And this is why you want to see more of it. I mean, Ke'Bryan Hayes would be an example of somebody who, you know, and again, patience does pay off sometimes. People were wondering about whether or not he was going to be able to hit. The last part of last year, he was one of the best hitters in baseball at third base. You know what his glove is, that's good. Now, they acquired Cruz in a trade, which was a smart trade, but he's a younger kid. The development now is on them. It's one thing to acquire. It's another thing to develop, and you have to develop. Whether or not Nick Gonzalez can be an answer at some point, I don't know. When was Nick Gonzalez drafted? He must have been 5 years ago.
I think four or five years ago.
Well, you know, seventh overall. At some point, the guy's got to step up and play.
Right. Well, the only reason I ask you that question is I heard Starkey earlier in the week saying something about the last 7 or 8 drafts, and I'm thinking to myself, the majority of these guys haven't even gotten to the big leagues, not even the September call-ups. So it just kind of had me wondering on that, and I appreciate your time. I don't want to hold you. I want to let other people ask you questions or talk to you.
All right, Fran,
but
you're right.
I mean, have a good day.
It's not just Pirate-related. That's major leagues in general. They have all these draft rounds, and you very seldom come up with people who are – can't miss, immediate step up at 18, 19, 20 years old, and you don't see them. So it does take time, and I'm willing to watch that develop. But at some point, you have to see it come to a fruition. If you don't, then you have to question the people actually doing the development part of the game. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Check out The Auto Show and number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. We'll have the weather coming up. More calls on the way. Penguins with a big game tomorrow against the LA Kings, which were terrible at one point of the season. Started hot, got bad, fired their coach, and now they're hot again. And they play today in Boston, so that'll help the Penguins tomorrow night when they skate against the Kings, who are on an extended Eastern road trip. But it's a big game. The Penguins somehow, some way, have got to come up with 2 points as they dig their way out from fifth right now in their division and 3 teams ahead of them in this second wild card chase, even though it's tightly bunched. We'll talk about that and more as we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, rounding third, heading home as we get close to the baseball season, like 40 days or so before the opening pitch, and Mitch Keller will probably be the guy who does that, but after that, then it's anyone's guess, and the Pirates have tried to make this, and they do have a very good bullpen. Colin Holderman out there, Carmen Majinski, along with Aroldis Chapman and David Bednar. You would think that if they get to, you know, sixth inning with starters, it shouldn't be that hard, or is it? It seems like that's become the trend around here in Major League Baseball, not being able to get teams to have starters go deep into games. It's a luxury now, and we'll see what happens there, but they got the first game coming up at the end of this week, and we'll get to see some of these guys actually in action. And the big question is Henry Davis. What will he be able to do? Will he catch? He should catch. I want to see if they're going to, you know, they spent the offseason trying to get him up to speed on catching. Well, then don't abandon it now. This is the time to try to do it and try to see what happens there. But they brought in Yasmani Grandel. They still have Jason DeLay on their roster. They have Ali Sanchez. You know, Andy Rodriguez is out. Okay, maybe you need depth there. But if Rodriguez is out and Grandel becomes your everyday catcher at his age, and, the guy has pop in his bat, sure. But can he sustain it for, a majority of the season? I don't know that he can. Henry Davis, to me, needs to catch in a lot of preseason games and make judgments accordingly. But they can't just abandon it now. 412-928-9370. Yarmir Yager on the ice with the Penguins at practice today. Feels right at home. Already beat Nedeljkovic on a backhand move. Still has the juice at age 52. He'll be honored tomorrow night before the game when the Penguins take on the Kings. And that banner will be raised to the rafters, but the guy still probably wants to play. He plays overseas. He's 52. He hasn't given up. It's been his life, and it'll be good to see it. It's long overdue. There are a lot of guys who I think should have that same distinction moving forward. We'll see what the Penguins do with it. But it should be a fun night at the PPG Paints Arena. But the most important thing after that is winning the hockey game. They are 5 points behind the second wild card team. And while they have some games in hand, they got to make, games like tomorrow, 2 points. Can't be anything more than that. Then they have some Eastern Conference matchups coming up, and the gravity of those increases. What will the Penguins do? What does Kyle Dubas do in this offseason or at this trade deadline? It starts there. Jake Gensel's out. His injury will take him beyond the deadline. So you won't have him to trade as a healthy player immediately. Now, the team that's acquiring him must know that he's at the end of a contract, and they have intention of signing him to whatever his number may be. I still haven't ruled out the possibility that they will sign Jake Gensel. It's just a matter of what they think, and term matters in this, because he is 29. He's going to want something that takes him, 7 years probably down the road, and the kind of money that he can get right now for that 7 years. He's been a guy who's produced based on his last contract, which was a 5-year, $6 million a year deal. He played and gave them everything back from that $6 million. But now he's going to want it up into some rarefied air. Is it worth doing? How much do you get in a trade back for Jake Gensel? And I don't know if it's going to be overwhelming, quite frankly. So maybe their best bet is just to keep things the way they are, go into the offseason, try to, supplement your roster a little bit, Or do they make some kind of way off the chart deal? You know, someone had called up earlier trading Tristan Jarry. He signed. He's a bargain at $5 million. If he plays the way he is, you can get a lot for some team that needs a goalie all of a sudden. And Radim Nedeljkovic, who was once considered to be the future of the Carolina Hurricanes when he was there as a rookie of the year. You know, so I don't know. That seems rather drastic to me, but, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. If you're a team that you believe can help your you know, top six, specifically bottom six, but if you're going to make a deal like that, I would get a top-end player. It just doesn't seem possible to me that they would do something like that. I think the number one thing that Kyle Dubas has to do to me would be, without giving up a whole bunch, is getting some physicality on their blue line. They still need more of it. It's a team that could be pushed around a little bit too much. I didn't like the other day when Gensel was being roughed up by Mikko Mikkola, who's 6'6" almost, and Sidney Crosby was the only guy to come to his aid. That should never be the case. It should be somebody else doing that. But if you don't have anyone else who does it, then what? This team needs to respond to stuff like that. And quite frankly, that's the way Florida plays. They are a physical team. They come after you with people like that. But they really make some, you know, they got some high-end talent. And I harped on this on the sports call the other night. They made an strictly hockey trade a few years back when they got Matthew Tkachuk, and they traded Jonathan Huberdeau, who was, you know, looked at as a very good player for Calgary. And they swapped those two, and it's been really good for the Florida Panthers, who I think are one of the better teams going on. They left Pittsburgh the other night after winning here, and they shut out the Buffalo Sabres the very next night. And they're cruising along to being a real dynamic force in the playoffs. Can the Penguins get there? You know, you don't want to see losses like you saw earlier this year with Arizona. Those are critical. There are games that you're supposed to win, especially home games that you're supposed to win. And when you drop those, this is when you look back and say they could have been in it. Because I think if the Penguins do get in a best of seven, or, you know, first round wild card situation, they have the talent in a short series where they could win if everybody's healthy playing the way they're capable. I got to believe there's got to be some answer with this power play. It's gone on way too long to have the same results, but the same results have been there pretty much all season long. It's dismal. It's been the reason they're not contending for anything right now. It's the reason they're not in a playoff spot, and they have too much talent to be using that as an excuse. That shouldn't be the reason why. Their defense is clamped down. It's been better. Their goaltending has been better. When you look back at Kyle Dubas, you may say the best signing he ever made in this offseason was Tristan Jarry, and people criticized that when it happened. Erik Karlsson, as much as it cleared space in their salary situation by getting rid of some dead contracts and some bad contracts, he hasn't done exactly what I thought he would be able to do. Now, we're heading down a stretch. This is where he can step up and make a difference. Let's go to Colby in Greensburg. Hello, Colby. You're the only Colby I know other than Colby Armstrong.
How are you, Bob?
What's going on?
Now, Bob, hey, quick question. Do you think that the Penguins could possibly do a handshake deal with Gensel where, hey, we're going to agree to trade you at the deadline here and then re-sign him next summer?
I'm sure that can happen. It's happened before. I don't know about a handshake deal, but you can, you know, I mean, if it becomes a bidding situation and you re-enter it and give him the money that he wants, I don't think there'd be a problem with that. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think they want to get this settled one way or the other before they head into that no man land, because there could be an offer that he doesn't foresee, but he gets, and it changes everything. So for them, if you really want him, you're going to have to sign him now before it ever gets to that.
Yeah.
What would you do, by the way, Colby? Would you just let him? You can't just let him go for nothing, can you?
No, you can't let him go for nothing. But I mean, but it also has to be something significant that you're going to get back in return. Whether that's a high draft pick, which I mean, when's the last time the Penguins even had a let alone a high draft pick, but even a first round draft pick? It's been a while, and I mean, you've got to get something back in significance for him, and I don't even know what team he would be a right fit to go for, or what you could even get back for him. But like you said, they have to get some type of bigger, stronger defenseman, somebody who can play in front of the net on the power play, something to that effect. I don't know what's out there at this point, but you've got to figure out something that you're going to get back that's going to be of significance.
Yeah, but I don't know. With an existing contract and injury, I think the asking price goes down a little bit, and that's the concerning thing. This is the worst thing that could have happened in terms of timing. You're going into the trade deadline, and you have an injured player you're trying to move. That's not exactly ideal, and it could play into the hands of someone who needs him. And if again, I don't think the Penguins are just going to settle for some kind of second-round draft pick and some potential player down the road. That's not what they need right now. Their goal is to win now, because that's all they have is now. They've mortgaged a lot of the future and more of it coming up. So you bet. To me, the more this goes on, the more it sounds to me like they're going to reach a deal with him and give him what he wants, and then worry about the offseason and cutting roster money tied to it after that. Carter will be gone. That saves you $3 million. The cap goes up by $5 million. That gives you $8 million. You'll probably trade some other people along the way here who make Raquel was a bad signing. I don't think there's any way around that.
No, I think you're right on the Raquel signing. You hope this doesn't turn into a Marcus Naslin for Alex Stoyanov type of situation. Man.
How about that? You're bringing back that name, Alex Stoyanov. Marcus Naslin showed potential here. He did, and then they trade him, and he turns out to be just a tremendous player for Vancouver. But all right, Colby, appreciate the thoughts. Thank you. Have a nice weekend. 412-928-9370. That is the number to call. Joel, who's coming up next? Is it Paulie A?
I think it was originally this week, but I think he had something come up, and so we'll go to CBS Sports Radio.
So we got the national radio coming up. Well, they'll be talking a lot about the NBA slam dunk contest, and I don't, a lot of people don't like talking about that. Although my man Max, he could be going for a repeat. The G League player who comes up every now and then, and he's got some hops in him. I don't understand why he's not in, why is he not on a roster somewhere? He can't crack the G League.
I guess that's simply it. If he's been in the G League for a couple years now, and probably just his overall game.
He is the betting odds, I would imagine, right? To win that thing?
I would think so.
Yeah, I got to imagine that. So you can bet on just about everything. I would bet he's the guy to, I think it's interesting. They're adding a new component. They're going to have some of the top shooters in the NBA, led by Steph Curry, against some of the top shooters of the WNBA in a three-point shooting drill.
Yeah, they've got, Sabrina Ionescu this year, I believe.
She's good.
You know what they should do next year? Steph Curry against Caitlin Clark.
Did you see her?
Wouldn't that be incredible?
From the logo, she hits the shot that gives her the NCAA scoring leadership all time. That was pretty spectacular, drawing big crowds to watch her play. But that's coming up next. So we got CBS Sports Radio. Later today, it's Pitt taking on Louisville. Now, they beat them earlier at the Yum Center. They got to do it again. They're 6-1 in their last seven. They've been on fire ever since upsetting Duke at Cameron Indoor. A really impressive game against number 21 Virginia the other night, where they shot the lights out from the outside. And if you shoot like that, you're going to win a lot of games. They are guard-centric, although they do have Blake Henson, who's their leading scorer. But these other guys are contributing big time. And we'll see what Pitt can do. It's a must-win for them. They can't afford to lose to a 3-11 team in conference. They're currently 16-8, 7-6 in the ACC and moving on up. And it would be nice to get a double bye situation out of this if you're them going into the ACC tournament. It helps out, especially a team that's young, that maybe needs some resting time, and it helps your chances of maybe getting to an ACC championship game. So that's all coming up tonight. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. And that's going to do it for today. Thank you, Joel. Appreciate your time, as always. And we'll see you again next week. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Fan Weather, which is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out special financing for qualified buyers on new Silverado 1500 trucks. Today, you got cloudy, breezy, couple of flurries, 30 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, breezy, low of 20. And tomorrow, wind picks up a little bit, high of 39 degrees. And once again, thank you to PNC Bank, number one Cochran, Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. CBS Sports Radio national coverage coming up. Pitt, Louisville, tonight. What time is the pregame? 5:30?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, tip-off at 6:30 from the Peterson Event Center, where you can get tickets for $20.02 in celebration of their 300th win, which came the other day against Notre Dame. That's going to do it for Joel Nelson. I'm Bob Pompeiani. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow on the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. That's after the late news, 11:35 on KDKA-TV. Have a great one.